Welcome to Cascade Talks.
Croeso I Cascade Talks, podcast sydd yn trafod ac yn archwilio yr ymchwil diweddaraf ac arloesi yn y maes o gofal cymdeithasol plant.
A podcast that discusses and explores the latest research and innovation in the field of children's social care.
Hello, and I'm Dr. Sarah Wallace. I'm a Senior Research Fellow at the Welsh Institute for Health and Social Care and Prime Centre Wales at the University of South Wales, and I'm co-founder and co-chair of the Violence Against Women, Domestic Abuse and Sexual Violence Research Network Wales. I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Professor Emily Underwood-Lee, to introduce herself. Emily.
Hi, I'm Emily Underwood-Lee. As Sarah said, I'm Professor of Performance Studies at the University of South Wales, and I am co-chair of the Violence Against Women, Domestic Abuse and Sexual Violence Research Network for Wales and co-founder of the network. So, Sarah, do you want to kick us off by telling us a little bit about how you got into working in the VADRSV sector?
So in terms of where my interest in VADRSV stems, as an academic, I've been involved in research within the area of VADRSV since I began my PhD. The study back in 2014, and that focused specifically on the needs of men experiencing domestic abuse and current service provision in Wales. And then since then, whilst my role within USW spans across health and social care, so undertaking a variety of research and evaluation studies, it's always been really important to me to continue to work and grow my skills within the field of VADRSV. And I guess, you know, closely linked to VADRSV and our research network is, you know, that VADRSV cuts across all aspects of society and sectors, whether that is health and social care, whether that's education, you know, criminal justice policy and so on. Prior to entering academia, my interest in VADRSV, that stemmed really from multiple experiences, I guess, both professional and personal. So prior to beginning my PhD, I'd worked within the third sector service, supporting both women and men who'd experienced domestic abuse. And it was there that I trained as an independent domestic violence advisor, or IDVA. And I'm just going to ask you the same question, Emily, if that's OK, in terms of your sort of academic interest background in VADRSV.
Yeah, so I came to it through performance studies, which isn't the usual approach, I suppose, for most people. So when I started my PhD, I was looking at representations of gender and identity in performance on stage. And I became increasingly interested in those performances of gender that were at the margins. So while I was going through my PhD, I got breast cancer. And it meant that I suddenly started to look at different kinds of bodies on stage. And that led me to think about, what are the stories we're not hearing? What are the stories we're not being told? What are the representations of strength, femininity, history, gender, all those things that we might be looking at that we don't normally see in performance in the public arena? And through doing that, after my PhD, I became interested in facilitating other people to tell their stories. And it began in health. As you've mentioned, VADRSV cuts across all sectors. And I also have an interest in the maternal. And I found that one of the places that a lot of women first seek support in who are experiencing any form of VADRSV is within maternity services. So I suppose my interest came through that route. And since then, I've worked facilitating other people to tell their story in a variety of forms, but particularly using a first-person storytelling approach to hearing those stories and then thinking about what it means to hear those stories, how that can change people's power, people's relationship to themselves, and the way that we put service users at the heart of practice and policy.
Thanks, Emily. And yeah, just going back to your sort of last point there, you know, that first person storytelling. I remember when you and I guess first met and started discussing the prospect of a VADRSV research network, you'd pointed me to your work with Welsh Women's Aid and the 40 Voices project. And it was actually only sort of admittedly probably over the past 6 months or so that I've actually started to look at some of those digital stories that were collected. And I just thought they were, you know, absolutely wonderful and really impactful. And I was just going to ask maybe if you could say a little bit about those. About that work and that project. Yeah.
So that was a project I carried out, which was funded by the lottery heritage funding. and it was to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the foundation of Welsh Women's Aid, and the 40th anniversary was in 2018. I was approached by Welsh Women's Aid to see if we could collect stories from that 40-year history. The aim originally was to collect 40 stories from people who'd been involved in the movement over that 40-year history, one for each year. But as we began collecting stories, there were just too many interesting stories to hear. So we went quite a way over our 40 stories mark. But what they are is short stories that are edited down to be about 3 minutes long. So we'll work with somebody to think about what is the story that you want to tell about yourself? How do you want that to be represented? What are the key points that you would like to convey? And the authorship always stays with the person whose story it is. And it's really about them controlling their representation and expressing their story in the way that they want to tell it, which is unusual in research, because often what we do is go in with a research question, hypotheses, agenda, and ask people questions that we as researchers have framed. And with a storytelling approach, we're taking the opposite perspective. We're going, this is an interesting person. What would you like to tell us? And what can we draw from understanding? Can we draw from hearing that?
And I guess that telling it in its own way, not to go off the point a little bit, but yeah, I guess, but telling it in their own way, as you've just described, must be really empowering for survivors who had so much of that, I guess, taken away as well.
Absolutely. One of the key points, as you know, in Vardar SV is that people can be silenced, or they can feel they've had their power to determine their own life taken away. And so to be able to say, this is how I want to tell the world my story, is really important and empowering. We had some really lovely moments in that project. So one particular story sticks in my mind of a woman who told us how she'd never told her family about her experiences of abuse, but she had so much to be proud of. She'd overcome a really difficult situation. She'd moved on with her life, and she was able to tell a story where she was no longer a victim, but she was actually somebody who had experience that was valuable and that could be shared with the world and help other people. And it was through telling that story she was able to tell her family about her history, because she was able to reshape what that history meant. It didn't mean that she was somebody who would be viewed in a negative light. Instead, she was somebody who had competences and experiences and real value that she was able to find in her own story and the power in her own voice when speaking out.
And I think it's key, isn't it? I think, you know, being within the service and certainly that frontline practitioner element is something that I've certainly missed since coming into academia. And I think that's why, you know, I really enjoy, you know, the opportunity to undertake interviews, you know, with research participants who have been survivors and victims, because it's still, you know, enabling them to tell this story, but for me to continue to learn and grow and, you know, and listen to them as well. As I said, that first step, I think, for, you know, any victim survivor who is considering seeking support, it's a huge hurdle, and it goes back, as I said, to overcoming fear, shame, embarrassment, and being able to tell their story. And I think, you know, and as a practitioner, being able to provide that sort of supportive environment to do that, and then work with that person to help them and enable them in terms of skills, you know, recovery, confidence, to really move on and recover is such an important element.
It's come through so much in everything that I read or hear, or whenever I speak to people about their experiences, it comes through so much that having the right support for the particular person to enable them to speak in the way that they want to speak, or to access what they need to access, is so critically important. And not just in the Vardar SV sector, across services, when we really listen to people and we tailor that support to them, it becomes so much more empowering and impactful for people.
It really does. And I think that goes back, you know, to the whole sort of aims and objectives, you know, of our research network, that it is inclusive, that, you know, we do recognise Vardar SV across the lifespan, you know, irrespective of where anyone lives, who they are, you know, protected characteristics that anyone can and does experience Fowler SVU.
Absolutely, and recognising that we're not the experts. We have some academic methods that we can use, but everybody is an expert in their own experience and in their own needs or in the service they provide, so that it becomes a reciprocal and equal relationship.
Definitely, definitely. And can I ask then, as I said, we're having this opportunity to sort of think back and reflect as well, Emily, in terms of developing the network. We think back, I guess, to some of those early conversations you and I had. What were your motivations for establishing the research network?
Well, at the start, it was really simple. So I'd been doing work in the University of South Wales, but I felt a little bit on my own, not because I haven't got brilliant colleagues, but just because I was working on a project which was unusual within my area of where I sit within the university. And then your email came through the staff intranet saying, I'm really interested in doing something around Vowder SV. And I was just really excited to go, oh, somebody else wants to do this too. And then we had those first initial conversations and sent an email out just to the university. And loads of other people came back going, oh, yeah, I'm doing this too. And I remember sitting in a conversation with you where we were going, well, if we didn't know each other, who else do we not know? And starting to pool our resources, send it out to our own contacts, just to find community, solidarity and a bit of strength in numbers, actually. Yeah. But then so much, it grew so quickly. It was incredible to see how many people responded, not just from within the university, but across the sector and associated sectors. You know, we've talked about health and criminal justice and policy, all the social care, different areas of work. People just seemed really keen to get together and support one another. And it was so surprising to me how much we weren't doing that. It was about that kind of strength in numbers and that community of support that got really exciting for me. What about for you?
Definitely can connect with what you said in terms of, you know, that strength in numbers. And, you know, just thinking back, you know, where we are now, I guess, in terms of, you know, the membership and the core group and how far we've come, you know, as if we've got sort of 60 plus members. And but even right to the, you know, the very offset, just being so thrilled, I guess, at the enthusiasm, you know, support for the prospect of such a network. And again, as you said, you know, right across Wales, you know, whether people were specialist Fowler SV or, you know, non-specialist Fowler SV services, or whether they were academics, you know, policy, third sector, it was just, I guess, that enthusiasm to have something, you know, that as I said, collectively, that we can begin to work together. And it's been wonderful to see, really. And prior to maybe sending that first, you know, initial, you know, email out, you know, with any West, was anybody interested, you know, to sort of take this forward, you know, both within, you know, University South Wales, I had a short time at Cascade, my time in practice, you know, there's a real wealth, isn't there, of expertise and knowledge right across Wales. But I think, you know, like so many, you know, irrespective, I guess, what sector you might work in, you know, things like time, you know, resources, opportunities, I guess, you know, it means that we can all at some point unintentionally end up working in silos. And I just, if there's an opportunity in some way or shape or form, you know, whether that's, you know, to connect, collaborate, share good practice, you know, sometimes, you know, we hear pockets of good practice, and, you know, it's not just in Wales, it's wherever you're going, whatever sort of sector or area you're in, I guess. But yeah, just to be able to sort of bring all of that expertise and knowledge together and just really work together, I guess, and generate that really good quality research and share that knowledge.
Yeah, and it's sort of greater than the sum of the parts as well, because we can then work in interdisciplinary, cross-disciplinary ways. So bringing people who have a really good understanding of stats, for example, together with people who have a really good understanding of the needs of survivors, together with people who have a really good understanding of population health, together with people who have a really good understanding of the legal situation, together with people who have really good qualitative research skills, we can all enhance one another's work in such interesting ways. And I've been so pleased to see, as that develops with the network, as people start to collaborate with people you perhaps wouldn't naturally work with. just because you wouldn't see each other, you wouldn't know each other, you wouldn't find each other.
Absolutely. And you know, I think back to, you know, the sort of 2 years I was within the domestic abuse service, and, you know, be perfectly honest, you know, prior to beginning my PhD, I didn't really, I guess, connect or fully understand what research was or how it related to me, when actually, you know, there's so much of it that does. And I think, you know, if we can be supporting frontline practitioners, services, as you said, survivors, and getting them really involved in, you know, research ideas generation in terms of what they want to see, you know, what would benefit them and what's helpful to them. And as I said, it goes back to the, you know, the discussion earlier, Emily, about people's voice and people's stories and doing it how they want to do it, you know, not just, oh, as we always say, do we, it's with, not on people, but really letting them, allowing them to inform what we're doing, and that reciprocal learning as well, you know, us sharing our knowledge and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I think is really wonderful about the network is that we're able to, well, I think every academic, I can't imagine anybody goes into academic research not wanting it to have value, but yeah, you want work that actually makes a difference in the world, that matters. You know, you put in energy and love and devotion into doing what you're doing, but you want it to matter beyond yourself. You want it to make a difference. So having that, and you want to share it. So having those opportunities to think about, as we are with the current study we're doing about the research priorities for Wales, to think about what actually could I apply my skills to that would be useful, that would be helpful, that would change women's lives. You know, it comes back to my feminist agenda, and I've called myself a feminist since I was about 11, before I really knew what one was. But, you know, it comes back to wanting to be, to really support and enable people to live in a better world.
I guess it's something about being bold, isn't it? You know, when we first started the network, you know, it was the domestic abuse and sexual violence research network, and when I think back to those original aims and objectives, and you know, the core group who helped to sort of, I guess, refine and develop those, and actually then, you know, I was sort of one of our key aims was the elimination of voucher SV, you know, and working towards our end to voucher SV, so that everyone, you know, no matter, as I say, who you are or where you live, you know, can live safely and fear free. And it is about that bold action, isn't it, as you said. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's at the launch, I think about Jane Hutt saying at the launch that we should make Wales the safest place in the world to be a woman. And you just think, what a fabulous aspiration that is, if, you know, to get behind and to work towards that. Not just for, obviously, that's, you know, I've talked about feminism, I've talked about women. I'm not excluding anybody here. People of any or no gender, you know, can experience Vouda SV. So we want to make Wales the safest place for everybody. You know, feminism, making everybody equal is better for everyone.
Absolutely. And just on the launch, what's your reflections, Emily, in terms of where we've come into with the research network since November?
Well, as you've said, we've gone from it being you and I in a couple of emails to 60 people representing a huge range of organisations, which is better than any of us aspired to. And we've got support from public sector people, from industry people, from third sector charities, all sorts of organisations coming together around that. So for me, that's, I suppose, our biggest achievement since the launch. Then specific projects, I've seen a few different projects start up since the launch, which are really interesting. So I know, for example, that some of our colleagues in the network are working at looking at specifically the role of nurses within the GP practice and how that might be something that could help to flag early signs of Vouda SV or support people who are experiencing Vouda SV. And that project's rolled out. I know we've got the GCM project that you and I are working on, the group concept mapping project to look at the research priorities for Wales. We've got another group that's looking at how we might share information. So we're looking at the dissemination of research through our various digital platforms, which is happening and really exciting. We've got the piece with Welsh Government looking at what work is already being done with survivors, what mechanisms there already are to support survivors in Wales. So I can think of loads of projects, you know, specific projects that are rolling out. What about you? What are your reflections since the launch? I hope I haven't hogged them all.
I think pretty much all, but when I was sort of sitting there, I thought, right, okay, I was sitting this one thinking, right, November, we're in April, and I thought I surprised myself. I thought it hasn't quite been 6 months yet. And that sort of really struck me. But as you said, really all of what you said, and I know obviously we held our first sort of network-wide meeting back in March. And I think, you know, that was so well received. It coincided with our first newsletter launch, and was really a good opportunity to let, you know, our wider membership know, wasn't it, in terms of where we were and where we're going as well. And to make sure that, as I said, as well as our core group, as I say, which help guide us, that our wider network members are involved in that too. As you've already mentioned, I think the website development, we've got that ongoing, we've got that growing membership and reach, increasing social media following. It's an awful lot, it feels, you know, is either in progress or planned, you know, within the short time, and obviously not forgetting the large... Mm. A collaborative research grant that we submitted with Bowzo, that we're waiting for the outcomes there on as well. So, yeah, it's certainly been a busy five, six months.
Absolutely. Yeah, busy and exciting.
Definitely exciting.
So, thinking about that, what are your hopes for the future of the network?
You know, that our network continues to grow and expand, not just across Wales, but that we, you know, look to begin to build connections with perhaps other research, VOUGH-SV research groups across the UK. I think with any sort of hopes and aspirations that we might have, you know, the real importance and value really is the ongoing commitment to support from both of my, I guess, our wider group and the wider networks. Yeah, I'm just sort of reflecting a bit more on that. I mean, we've always sort of gone back to, haven't we, that yes, this is a research network and it is about, you know, developing and submitting and delivering that high quality research. But I think for me, and when we've had these discussions before, Emily, it's also about sharing that knowledge. So, you know, certainly having some regular knowledge exchange activities or something, you know, a day in the future, that would be brilliant to sort of share, as I said, that best practice and what it is we're learning and what's already out there.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
What about yourselves?
I hope that we continue to be and become increasingly inclusive.
Yes.
So I know that we do have people who represent all different walks of life within the network, but I also know that there are lots of barriers to somebody who might see something advertised as a research network for Wales and think, well, that's not for me. I'm not research active. I'm not, as you said, when starting your PhD, I don't see how that relates to my life. So I hope that we can really make the network relevant to people and see that, as you said, the delivering, developing high quality research matters and is open for people to be involved in.
And with that inclusivity as well, you mentioned, Emily, it's making sure that we're doing that with all survivors. I know we've already touched upon that throughout our sort of conversation today, but we've had excellent sort of feeding and support, haven't we, from some of our network members who are survivors, about how we might do that and the importance of not just consulting, you know, the research application once you've thought of the idea, but really, you know, genuinely sort of brainstorming and developing those ideas together.
And to be inclusive across all sorts of characteristics as well, to make sure that the space is welcoming and open to people across gender, across race, across disability and protected characteristics.
I think, you know, the survivor engagement work that you mentioned earlier, I think that, as I said, that's a collaboration between us, you know, the network and Welsh Government, but I think that will potentially help us to do that, you know, to ensure that survivors' voices across Wales are represented in all that we are doing.
I hope so. I've got great ambition and we'll see how it can be realised. I think, as you mentioned, the key aim to work towards eliminating VOUGH-SV through delivering and undertaking high quality research is certainly lofty, but as an aspiration, it's one I really am excited about.
I completely agree. It's such a huge area, isn't it, Fawr SV? I mean, you know, as we've said, it cuts across population, sectors, all aspects of society. And it certainly is ambitious, but I don't, you know, again, it goes back to our wealth of skills, expertise across Wales.
There's something really interesting there, isn't there, with that Wales is a small nation and a lot of the activity with which we're concerned is devolved. Obviously not all, but a lot of it is devolved and in the control of Welsh Government. And so it feels like Wales can be really progressive, really forward-looking and really exciting in taking new and innovative approaches and to including people in the conversation, because we are a little country, and it is quite open. You know, you can be discussing something at a community level that can have an impact at a national level. So for me, doing this in Wales is also a really, really great place to be.
And that links a little back, doesn't it, to the policy landscape of Wales. You know, I certainly think, you know, Wales does lead the way, really, in terms of its commitment to Enfawr SV.
Absolutely, yeah, because we were the first nation, weren't we, to have a Fawr SV Act. So something we can be proud of. And it's such a pervasive issue, you know. I can't think of people that don't know somebody who has experienced some form of Fawr SV if they've not experienced it themselves, or even through to the smallest acts of catcalling or sexism, right through to the big homicides that, you know, that get their headlines or don't get the headlines, perversely. But, you know, it's a massive issue and it affects all of us. You know, you can't live in the world without being impacted by this issue.
Well, that inclusivity is really important, you know, to have a message whereby anyone, said whoever, you know, whoever you are, can access support, can be recognised and accepted, is really, really important.
Absolutely. I think that sounds... Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's possibly quite a good place to end it, isn't it? That statement that you've just made. It'd be good to do some thank yous, I suppose.
Yes, good point. If you wanted to start that one.
Yeah. So, well, I just first of all say thank you, Sarah, for reaching out initially and getting this whole thing off the ground. And thanks for a really fascinating conversation today. And thank you to Cascade for inviting us to have this conversation. It's a rare opportunity to sit back and reflect for a while.
Absolutely, and echo that. Thanks, and thanks to you, Emily, for coming on board. I think it's you know, be a real privilege for me to really get a bit of insight and understanding in terms of, you know, your storytelling expertise. And as I said right at the very beginning, you know, listening back to some of those and watching some of those digital stories from the Welsh Women's Aid Project, you know, so impactful. And yeah, it's just brilliant to have you on board, and echo also my thanks, you know, to Cascade, and again, you know, to all of our co-group, our wider network members who have really supported us and helped us to refine all of the aspects of the network and continue to work with us to do that. So thanks, yeah, to everyone.
Thank you for listening to Cascade Talks.
Diolch am rando ar Cascade Talks. Hoffwn ddweud diolch i Ymchwil Iechyd a Gofal Cymru ac i Lywodraeth Cymru am eu cefnogaeth cyllid.
We'd like to thank Health and Care Research Wales and the Welsh Assembly Government for their funding support. Exchange brings together leading researchers with practitioners and service users to share expertise, research evidence and care experiences. To sign up for free events and access resources, visit exchangewales.org. You can also follow us on Twitter @ Exchange Wales.